He's making a list, he's checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Ho, 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 ho. Welcome to Christmas Eve on WGN. I'm Elise Kling, sitting in for John Williams today. I'll be back Monday as well, as John gets a nice long weekend. King John hanging out in front of his tree. It's a nice nice idea. So I thought about what we should talk about today, and really all I want to talk about is Christmas, right? I mean, it's finally here. We waited all year, and boy, did we slog through a year, right, to get here. So what do you think? Today, I think we should talk about Christmas food, your favorites, my favorites, what I'm making for tomorrow. And please share your recipe. Somebody also has, I don't know who was, what they were talking about earlier today, early this morning, but somebody was sharing recipes online. And feel free to send yours, 312-981-7200. You can text or you can call, talk about that. We're going to talk about gifts that you want, but maybe didn't tell anybody that you wanted. And gifts that you bought. I'd love to hear what deals you found. I found some last-minute deals. If you're still stuck on what to buy somebody, I've got a couple of ideas for you. So we'll talk about that in the next hour or so. And then gifts that you might be buying for yourself this holiday season. I know we're not above that. In fact, it was funny because a few months ago, I was having a conversation. It was like late October. Having a conversation with one of my good friends. And she was telling me that the way that she does her Christmas shopping is she goes into a store and she looks around at everything that's there and she, you know, picks up a couple of things on the list and one for herself. And it's like a 3-to-1 ratio. It's like, really? A 3-to-1 ratio? That's pretty awesome. She says, yes, I'm being gifted. I'm gifting myself this year just in case. Well, I get the sentiment, right? It has been one of those years where everybody feels like they just need a little bit of a break. So we'll talk about gifts and Christmas foods, and then something that we've talked about yesterday, which just was great, was the Christmas movie list, which we posted at WGN, and I posted it on my Elise Kling Facebook page. You can see it there. And that got me starting to think about where I go, or where I would normally go, right? Normally, this time of year, my family and I, we take a couple of weeks off, and we go somewhere in the world, and we just really bond, the four of us, or we go. This year, we were supposed to go with my husband's family to Barcelona, which was, I was very excited. I haven't traveled with them in years. excuse me. But we, you know, obviously couldn't go anywhere. Spain didn't exactly hold out the welcome flag. Nobody else did. So we're staying at home like everyone else. But I thought, where do I want to go if I want to be transported? Where do I actually go? And where I've been going lately is Netflix. So I'm going to run down the list of shows that I'm watching that mentally take me somewhere else. And I can, if I think really, 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 really hard, I can almost pretend I'm there. All right, we're going to take a short break. Market Watch is coming up next, sponsored by Alpha Wealth Group. You're listening to 720 WGN.
Bells will be ringing.
It's 9:17 on Christmas Eve morning. Thanks for joining me here. I'm Elise Glink. You can always find me online, bestmoneymoves.com or Instagram or my Elise Glink Facebook page, LinkedIn, Twitter. I'm trying to think of where else there's ThinkLink content. It's obviously thinklink.com would be the place. All right, we've got speed jokes in a little while, but somebody sent in a speed joke that I thought was really cute. If Santa Claus led a bunch of horses instead of reindeer, what would the new laugh be?
Wait a minute. Horses instead of reindeer.
Yeah. If Santa Claus had a bunch of horses instead of reindeer, what would his new laugh be?
I have no clue.
Hey, hey, hey.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That was cute.
Thank you, 815, for contributing that little chuckle to Dave this morning.
Yes.
You can't see him. He's still processing.
Wait a minute. How did I miss that?
I know. it was so, it feels so obvious now that we look back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're good ones. I'm going to have a bunch of new Christmas ones.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
My little Christmas. You know, the joke in our family, Dave, is that I am the world's worst joke teller or joke listener. People like telling me jokes because I can never remember them. I've said this before. I don't know why. I just can't keep them in my head. And my timing is never quite right. But doing these jokes over and over again, you know, for John, I think my timing is just a hint better.
I see a potential stand-up career for you.
You
down
do.
The road. Yeah.
Yeah.
You and Vicky will open. She'll do a solo.
Yeah.
I could do money jokes.
There you
go. We'll just pass the baton back and forth.
I like that, Vicky. This is not so bad.
Not so bad.
Well, let's dig into gifts. Dave, what are you getting for, what's the thing you put on your wish list this year? Did you have anything?
I didn't really have anything. You know, I just, my wife and I are kind of at the point where we want something, we'll go buy it for each other or buy it for ourselves. And it's more about what we're going to give our kids.
Right.
And so
did the kids give you a list or did you
guess? No, we decided what we were giving them this year. And
okay.
So they could be listening right now. I revealed this on the air early yesterday morning when I knew they weren't up yet, but they do tend to listen. So
uh-oh.
I'm not going to say right now.
Okay.
But it was,
Monday, you can tell me when I mean.
Absolutely. Once they've gotten it.
All right. So I can, since we give Hanukkah gifts to our kids and mm-hmm. Hanukkah, you know, finished over a
yep.
week ago, I can tell you what happened with us. So our older son, Alex, was supposed to come in from California, and we had planned to give him all sorts of fancy food treats, which he really likes. You know, all kinds of little potted meats and, you know, crazy stuff. He eats everything. This is his philosophy. I think he thinks you're discriminating against food if you don't try everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've traveled to pretty crazy places around the world, and he's eaten bugs, and he's eaten worms, and, I don't know, a guinea pig down in Peru. I was like, ooh. They don't look the way they look here. They're different variety, but whatever. I was just, you know, they
just
never,
the thought.
Yeah. Anyway, they barbecue them by the side of the road. They smell good, but, you know, whatever.
Oh.
So he tries everything. So that was going to be his gift. And then he didn't come in because of COVID, right?
Right.
So we sent him a whole basket. Like, you can buy those food baskets that have all the little... It wasn't quite as exotic as we were going to go. It's really hard to find exotic food in those things. I mean, maybe somebody will text me and go, oh, but Elise, you forgot here. But anyway, that was good. He liked it, and he's at, you know, school, and his roommate's all happy. And then our younger son is a big weightlifter. He likes to lift weights, and he can't go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought him some weights, the kind where you can dial up or down.
Oh, those are great.
I know. He was very excited.
Those are hard to find right now also.
Well, I'm married to a man who can find anything online in about 30 seconds.
Okay, well,
Sam,
that's...
the man, is just one of his many, many talents is... You know, you need something, or he looks for something, and he can find stuff that nobody... He can also find people.
Really?
I'll tell you the true story. So, a couple of years ago, I was doing a tremendous amount of traveling for my business, like I do all the time. And I go through security O'Hare, and it's like 6 a.m. And so I put my bag down, and I had to... For whatever reason, I didn't get pre-check, because I have it, but it didn't happen. So I put my laptop down, have to take the laptop out and shoes and whatever. And I get out on the other side. I immediately grab my laptop, everything else. And I get on the plane and we take off. It's like the 6 a.m. flight. So I go to sleep for a little while, wake up around 7:30. I'm on my way to California and I pull down my laptop and I open it up and it's not responding. Like, I can't get into my laptop.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I know what's coming.
So then I noticed that there's this weird little thing sticking out of the side of the laptop. And I think to myself, okay, what did Sam do now? Because he's always doing stuff to make my life easier. And, you know, there's like new little gadgets all the time in my bag and this and that. So I'm like, what's this? And then I finally get the thing turned on and it comes up and it's a woman with a dog is in the picture. And I'm like, oh, my God, this isn't my laptop. Where's my laptop?
And there's a woman with a dog.
And there's a woman with a dog. Clearly, I don't have a dog, and this isn't me. And so I'm completely freaking out in this plane, which is packed of, you know, sleeping people. And I thankfully have my iPad with me at the time. I was traveling with an iPad, a phone, and a laptop. So I get on the iPad and I text, I get onto the Wi-Fi and I text Sam and I said, funny story. You'll never guess. So he texts back and he says, tell me what you see when you open it up. And I'm like, woman with a dog. And there was a name, not a full name, but like, a joking name. And he's like, okay, stand by. So by the time I had landed in San Francisco, he had located this woman who actually is like a little past Naperville, I think, as I recall, or Aurora. And she's she was a vet or she raised dogs, just something around dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Sam was able to figure out who it was, call there, find out she was on her way to, Southern California, like San Diego. And by the time I had landed 3 hours later, had arranged for me to drop ship her laptop to her, and she drop shipped her laptop back home to me.
Wow.
That
is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. All within, 2 hours.
Well, I think you're right.
It was like the best gift ever.
I think he does have a talent.
He does. Yes. It's a hidden talent. You never want to hide anything from Sam. Anyway, I don't even know how we got down that trajectory. Oh, gifts. But anyway, that was the great gift for me, for my husband.
Absolutely.
One of many. Anyway. All right. So gifts today. Happy to chat about that and what gifts that other people are getting. Sam and I, to your point, Dave, we don't really do gifts like that anymore. We do mostly, we go and we buy ourselves something. So this year we bought
same
a big TV at Costco.
Okay.
And then we bought ourselves.
And that was like $200, right?
Right. It's a big spend. It's actually a big TV. I was amazed. Have you seen those 82-inch 4K TVs?
I have.
Oh, my gosh. They're, I think, like $1,500, which is a huge amount of money this year for anybody. But I thought, wow, when those first came out, they were like $15,000. And now they're $1,500. And you can buy like a 50-inch TV for $300, to your point.
Yes.
So crazy. But now, of course, I'm at the age where I like have to sit really close. You know, I just want to feel like I'm somewhere else, which is why I watch shows like Magnetic, which we're going to talk about a little later in the program today, and watch these crazy guys go to the top of the mountain in Pakistan and ski down where they can't even breathe. I just want to be transported somewhere. I want to hear
more about that.
Yeah, I don't. It's very interesting. Anyway, all right. Coming up next, we'll talk about Magnetic. Coming up next, we've got Walter's Perspective. It's sponsored by Hearing Health Group. And, of course, the news sponsored by the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
All around the country today, now every day, more than 14 million people are watching television news about coronavirus. Mostly bad news about dying and death. But there's also some good news to watch. Some advice about the coronavirus vaccine. Scientists, doctors, experts in pandemics and public health, they're all telling us to avoid catching and spreading the virus. Get that vaccine. Problem is, not enough of us are listening to the advice. According to public opinion polls, more than 50% of us don't want that vaccine. Not now, not yet, even though nearly 3,000 people a day in the U.S. are dying. Question is, what can be done to motivate people to pay attention to the expert? A doctor I know, a psychiatrist, an expert in human behavior, says, change the message. Stop the media's constant repetition of the numbers of dead and dying, and the speeches and the pictures of politicians promoting the vaccine. Stop that stuff, he says, because politicians being vaccinated on television won't change the minds of people who don't want the vaccine. And anyway, we've all heard the speeches and seen the pictures many times. In order to change minds, the psychiatrist says, we have to be seriously afraid. Like it or not, he says, there should be more pictures of regular people, friend and neighbor kinds of people, being taken to emergency rooms and put on those ventilators. More pictures of tubes in noses and funerals and cemeteries. Fear, he says, is what will convince. Makes sense to me, Doc, and if it saves a life, it's worth a try. I'm Walter Jacobson, and that's my perspective. For more, visit WGNradio.com or download the WGN Radio app. This is Walter Jacobson. I just went to an event at Hearing Health Center to try out some new hearing aid technology. Wow, amazing stuff. I can't believe they can do all this and still make them so teeny tiny. First of all, they are rechargeable. You never have to touch one of those little batteries again.
and they have motion sensors that know when you're walking, riding in a car, or sitting still, and they automatically adjust the sound. All that and a 70% increase in clarity. And the best thing is Hearing Health Center's new trade-in plan. Your current aids could be worth up to $1,000 each, so you can trade in and trade up to new technology. Call 833-GO-HEARING for a complimentary consultation and free hearing assessment in Chicago, Oak Brook, Naperville, Highland Park, or Park Ridge. That's 833-GO-HEARING or visit WGNHEARING.com.
For Steve Grzanich on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's Matt Pubala in for Anna DeVlantis, 1 to 4 p.m. leading up to our special Christmas programming. Let's pay tribute to the mom from A Christmas Story.
Shoot your eye out.
It's Matt in for Anna after 1 on 720.
So it's that time again in the show where we've got our speed joke sponsored by Team Hochberg, and John has left a bunch of jokes, so we're going to let him read those, and then I've got a few of my own.
Speed Jokes, sponsored by Team Hochberg.
Hey, this is John Williams, and I'm back next week with new speed jokes. You remember this one? And finally, your jokes are like a bad commercial. The more you hear them, the more you like them.
What a compliment.
I'm not sure that I want to be the Cars for Kids of comedy, but here we go. Hey, guys, I ate 4 bowls of alphabet cereal for breakfast, and then I had a massive vowel movement. I met a girl that sells batteries by the park. She sells seashells by the seesaw. Hey, Dave, a triangle and a circle got into a big fight. Finally, the triangle said,
"You just don't get my point."
Oh, that's good. Mary, do you want to add to that?
What's my line?
I like that. I have "You're pointless." This is terrible, guys. Thieves broke into the police station and stole all the toilets. Detectives say they have nothing to go on. Kid's about to turn 16. He turns to his dad and says, "I'm going to get my driver's license soon. I'll need a car." Dad says, "Well, I'll buy you a car if you do 3 things. Get better grades, read the Bible, cut your hair." On the eve of the 16th birthday, the kid says, "Dad, I'm getting good grades. I should have done that a long time ago. And I'm reading the Bible. I'm better for it. So how about the keys?" And the dad says, "I also told you to cut your hair, and your hair is longer than ever." And the kid says, "Yeah, I've been reading the Bible. Whenever you see a picture of Jesus, he has really long hair." And the dad says, "Yeah, and whenever you see a picture of Jesus, he's walking." The therapist said, "Welcome to Plastic Surgery Addicts Anonymous. I see a lot of new faces in the crowd today, so I'm disappointed. I'm so proud of myself. Last night for dinner, I just had a salad. It was mostly tomatoes and croutons. Actually, it was just one big round crouton and some tomato sauce and cheese. Okay, I had a pizza." Holy cow, a bus filled with stuntmen veered off the highway and rolled down the mountainside and burst into flames. No one was injured. You may have told that one before, but why not tell that one twice?
Stuntmen. Yeah.
Thank you. And finally, Pam wrote in to say, "I've been texting some of your select jokes to my 12-year-old grandson as a way to stay connected and cheer him up." Pam, we're happy about that. She says he especially appreciates fart jokes. Of course, he's 12. "Thanks for helping me pass the time and stay connected during this scary, sad time. Pam, we really don't tell fart jokes here, but for the 12-year-olds this morning, I'm going to make one exception. Here we go." Guy goes to the doctor. Says, "Doc, something must be wrong with me. When I fart, it doesn't smell bad. Never smells." The doctor says, "Well, go ahead, fart right now, and let's see what's going on." So the guy does, and the doctor says, "Oh, boy, this is serious. We're going to have to operate." And the guy says, "On my rectum?" And the doctor says, "No, on your nose." Ashley just whispered into my ear, "The jokes are sponsored by Team Hochberg. Maybe not tomorrow, but up until today."
After that.
"Up until today." Well, there's the 12-year-old in all of us and some bona fide 12-year-olds out there, so.
You can top that, can't you?
I don't know. I actually saw that joke online, and I thought, I can't read that online. First, I'm definitely not a 12-year-old boy. So that would be that would rule me out there. All right, here's a couple of Christmas ones. What is white and minty?
White and minty.
I probably shouldn't have started out with this one. Yeah, what's white and minty? A polo bear. All right, why did Scrooge keep a pet lamb?
Pet lamb. I'm stumped.
Because it would say, bah, humbug. What's a Christmas tree's favorite singer? This one you should get.
Don't have it.
Spruce Springsteen.
Spruce.
All right. What's Santa's primary language?
Vicky? Somebody?
Anybody have this? Newsroom? No?
Nothing. Sorry.
Yeah, we're here by ourselves.
All right. Yeah. You know, that's the, well, let's talk, the empty station run amok. North Polish.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not bad. All right. Last one. Which holiday mascot has the least spare change?
Least spare change. It's got to be Christmas, right? And so it's got to be, I don't know.
All right. St. Nicholas.
That's good.
So Speed Jokes are sponsored by Team Hochberg. If you've got a joke, be sure to send it to John. You can text us at 312-981-7200, or you can just send it to John at WGN. Go online, and we hope you get a little bit of a laugh. I'll have a few more of these fabulous Christmas Speed Jokes for you in a couple of hours when we do this again. 773. Only British people will understand the whole what's white and minty polo bears because polo mints are British. Thank you. That's true. I guess because I spent a year there and I kind of think I'm British. And then what's a Christmas tree's favorite cleaner from 847? That's a good one, actually. Christmas tree's favorite cleaner.
I'm trying to think what cleaner has spruce.
Would it be Pine Sol?
Yes.
Oh, Brian Burrow for the win.
Thank you, 847. Very good one. Very good. Feel free to bring these along, you know, just a little bit more. Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about gifts, gifts that people are giving, and, of course, television shows that transport you. And I talked a little bit about Magnetic. I'll talk a little bit more about that. Somebody wrote in and said Queen's Gambit. Have to put that on the list as well. That was really terrific. It's 9:44. I'm Elise Klink, and this is 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. It is Christmas Eve on WGN Radio. I'm Elise Klink, sitting in for John Williams. So excited to be here with you. I've been posting the movie list and the television show list on my Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook.com and you type in Elise Klink, I-L-Y-C-E-G-L-I-N-K, it'll take you to my Facebook page. You can like the page. It'll show you all of the different titles. But let me run down where we are right now. And then everybody's been texting in more. So 312-981-7200 to keep doing that. So I've talked about Magnetic, which is extreme sports all over the globe. That's the Portugal surfing thing and the skiing down in Pakistan and things I'll never do in my life. I don't even know how to surf and I've never skied. So I'm clearly not doing them. This is armchair viewing at its best, particularly if you sit really, really close to whatever TV you have. You can almost feel the cold snow in your face. Street food, Asia and Latin America. If there are more, I don't know, but they're great to just watch. National Parks Adventure, I didn't mention that earlier, but it's really nice to go into some of the national parks and just kind of see where you are. Joshua Tree is one that they've done. I think they did Arches. It's our country is so beautiful. I have been to every single state, and it is just, it's so magnificent. And if you've got a favorite national park, you should certainly let me know. We were in Estes Park, I don't know, about a year and a half ago. It was just, out in Colorado, up in the Rockies. Stunningly, stunningly beautiful. As I said earlier, I'm an Anglophile, so a BritBox, somebody said anything in BritBox would be great if you're an Anglophile. I totally agree. And my favorite show that I'm watching now is Inspector Morse, and it was shot in the 1980s in Oxford, England. Excuse me, about the time I was there living for my year abroad. I was in North Wales, but we went down to Oxford. Fabulous, really fun show, but shot it. It's very low quality video, I have to say. It's not great video, but the stories are fun. Call My Agent, we talked about that. That's Paris. Obviously, The Crown, right? And The Crown's new season is fantastic. Anything that Sir David Attenborough narrates, particularly all the coral reef stuff. Chef's Table, Ugly Delicious, Emily in Paris, Queen's Gambit, British Baking Show, the Smithsonian Channel's An American Aristocrat's Guide to Great Estates. And then I didn't mention this one earlier, but if you love Italy the way that I do, Dream of Italy with travel host Kathy McCabe is good. We had somebody call in from 224. We're watching Escape to the Chateau on Peacock, where a British family buys a chateau in France and they rehab it. That would appeal to me on every level, right? Big old house, you're in the south of France, and as a real estate girl, boy, who rehabs stuff, like, I just love that. 815, anything that Rick Steves does, yes. He's another person who puts me to sleep in, like, the very best possible way. His voice is so calming, and he takes you through, you know, the different things. That's good. Western Springs, please, when you finish talking about these shows, repeat the titles. Just did, but now you can actually go to my Facebook page, and it's all listed there. And then the BritBox, and then, oh, this was good from 312. I'd recommend Shakespeare in Italy. Short TV series was released a few years back on the BBC. I will definitely take a look at that one. 847, Capitol Reef National Park, Torrey, Utah. Amazing. 3 exclamation points. That sounds pretty good. I'm going to have to try that as well. So if you've got a show that transports you and is taking you somewhere else, I would love to hear about it. 312-981-7200. And, it's just one of those times, right, where we all feel like we just need to appreciate nature. And I know it's cold outside. I don't know if you've been doing this, but I've been walking a lot outside, no matter what the weather, and it has been really nice, right, for December up until today. Well, today it's Christmas, so you want it to feel, you know, a little bit chillier, right? But it's been so helpful to just get out. And so one of the things that Sam and I started to do this year, just to cope, right? Big sigh, right? We started going to different forest preserves so that we could, around, you know, here, like an hour away was kind of our limit, like just experience nature in a different way, just to have that sort of other experience. And I feel that way about the national parks. Like if we live near a national park here, you know, in Chicago, I mean, we do, I guess you can go over to the sand dunes one on, you know, the Indiana side, which is fantastic. Is that Sleeping Bear? I think it is. I'm not looking at my Google Maps, which is how I remember anything these days. But, you know, if you think about where we are in Chicago, the closest, you know, big state park is a couple of hours drive away, at least from where I live. I guess it depends where you are in the metro area. But wouldn't it be great to have Glacier National Park right outside your door, or Joshua Tree an hour and a half away? I mean, those kinds of huge national parks are, you know, the people who live near them are really lucky. And we've got the lakefront, and we've got a lot of forest preserve and other stuff. So I've been trying to get us up and going to different venues. I wanted to see different leaves. You know, I live near the Botanic Garden, which is amazing, and you can walk around it and do a great 3-4-5 mile walk going around and around. But, it wasn't, it's not quite the same as like Glacier or going to the Rockies. So anyway, what have you been doing to transport yourself? That would be one of the great things to do. It is 10:18. We'll be back in a moment with more of your ideas about movies, gifts, and Christmas food next on 720 WGN. It's 22 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Kling, sitting in for John Williams today. We've been talking about places that transport you. 773, a couple of years ago, friends went to Acadia National Park in Maine. The photos are beautiful. Oh, that's so true. TV shows that transport you. 630, The Repair Shop on Netflix. Incredible artisans restore really old heirlooms in England. Betcha just can't watch one. LOL. Okay, I will take that bet. Well, I can't because I know I'll lose it. I get totally, I can't stop watching those shows. I think that's so cool. It's 847 recommends Illinois Beach State Park. It's less than an hour from where you live. That's actually, I forgot about that one. That's true. We should take a walk down there. 630, Acorn shows, New Tricks, The Heart Guy, Suitable Boy, to name a few, and Merry Christmas back at you. Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore Park, 40 miles east of downtown. Great hiking. That's true. Great. And from 708, two friends and I have been walking in cemeteries. The road is wide. We can easily talk as it's quiet. That's true. And there's no traffic. We've seen deer and lots of nature. We've done seven so far. It's actually a really interesting idea. I have a cousin who lives in Oakland. And years ago, when I was still running, I just do walking, but they live off of MacArthur Boulevard in Oakland, if anybody's familiar with it. And at the end of the road, there's lots of really great little shops and grocery stores. And, you know, it's a pretty small little area. And then when you just keep going on that road, it runs into a really beautiful old cemetery. And I haven't thought about this in a long time, but when you, 708, when you sent that about walking in cemeteries, when I would go visit for business, I would always take extra time and stay with my cousin Carol and go for a run early in the morning and then run down the MacArthur, whatever that road was, MacArthur Boulevard, and you get to the cemetery, and it was just really peaceful and beautiful. And you felt like you were somewhere else, which is amazing. So thank you for that memory. I hadn't thought about that in a while. It is 24 minutes after the hour. So the next thing about Christmas that I want to talk about is Christmas food. And we're going to actually have Sammy P in next half hour to talk about what's going on in the sports world a little bit. So we were not going to get too far into this right now. But in the 11 o'clock hour, what I want to do is talk a little bit about what you're cooking tomorrow. And so feel free to text in, you know, whatever it is that you're cooking, 312-981-7200. I want to share with you what we're making. Now, I think most of you know that I'm Jewish, not Christian, but we like to do what we can and celebrate with our friends. And so tomorrow we're actually making my mother's favorite dinner. So we've been living with my in a bubble with my mom. So we're going to go with my mom, and her favorite thing is standing rib roast. And so I was at Costco last week, and this was amazing. They had a standing rib roast. I don't know if I'm going to say that right. It had like 10 bones in it. So this is the one, it's, you know, like the eye of the rib, and then you've got the bones on the back of it. And this had like 10 bones. It was crazy, like the whole side of a cow. And I looked at Sam, and I really wanted to get it. And he's like, are you kidding me? He's like, there's only four of us. What are we going to do with 22 pounds of rib roast? Like, it was bad enough that I made a 25 and a half pound turkey for Thanksgiving, and there were five of us. You know, he's like, what are you going to do with this size rib roast? He's like, we can't. I was like, well, we could cut it up. We could, you know, he's like, listen, take a smaller one. It does, you know, just because it's here at Costco doesn't mean you actually have to buy it. So we did. We bought a smaller one with just four bones. And then, but it's still like 12 pounds because that was you know, it's Costco, right? Everything is extra large. So it was the smallest one that they had. So that's what we're making tomorrow. And I've been spending all week looking up recipes and trying to figure out how long it's going to take to cook, because I decided we're going to try the slow roast method, where you cook it at like 250 degrees. It'll probably take like 8 hours, and you know, we'll see how that comes out. And then we're, you know, deciding on potatoes, and we're probably going to do my mother's favorite, which is a wedge salad with blue cheese dressing. And probably, again, to go back, I'm sure I'm beating this Anglophile thing to death, but we're going to have scones with clotted cream and jam. So that's my Christmas dinner tomorrow. But what's yours? I'm interested to know what you're doing and making. So text us or call us, 312-981-7200. What is your Christmas food tradition? And what is the thing that you're going to miss most this year that you're not going to get because, of course, you know, whoever makes that thing isn't going to be there. So give us a call, let us know, and we will talk about this in the 11 o'clock hour. In the meantime, the next thing coming up is Sammy P. He's going to be here with your sports gambling odds, and I've got a few questions for him. I probably won't stump him because, like, seriously, me, sports, unlikely. But anyway, it'll be a lot of fun, so stick around for that next after the news. Welcome back, everybody. It's 10:34. I'm Elise Klink, and Sammy P is in the house, sponsored by PointsBet. Hey, Sammy.
My microphone on. That's my bet. I'll fall on the sword on that one. That's my bet. I was so excited with the music. I was dancing in the studio.
I was like, underneath the Christmas.
No, that's my fault. I was going to wear, I honestly have a suit of Santa, or a sweater, a Christmas sweater of Santa Claus riding a flamingo, which makes no sense, but I couldn't find it. So I apologize in advance. Or actually, I apologize right now.
You know, I actually looked in my closet this morning. I don't have a single thing that's red, like true Christmas red.
Not one thing?
Not one thing that's true Christmas red. I don't know how that happened.
I think I have every color. I even have a turquoise in my closet.
Okay, I have a lot of turquoise and a lot of black. So I went looking last night for my son's red sweatshirt from his college, and I thought I could just wear that, even if I wore it inside out. He took it back with him.
Which college?
He goes to Stanford.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's Cardinal Red, isn't it?
It is.
Cardinal Red. Speaking of red, this odd board, I was laughing in the news, and you and I were just joking about this. Ryan Burrow said, the markets are open, but as we know, the stock market eventually closes every day.
Yeah, it's going to close in about an hour and 25 minutes.
These betting markets, Elise, they never, ever close. And this is college football bowl season. And in the last week, let's not even talk about what happened at Ohio State and Northwestern when Ohio State came out at the very last minute and said, hey, 22 players have COVID. They're all not going to play today. The market went and completely flipped.
Okay, so Ohio State, that game, we watched that game with Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite a game.
It was a very good game. Now, they were a little depleted, and it wasn't like 22 of their best players didn't play.
Well, they had all COVID, right? So yeah. They were playing with COVID.
And John and I talked about this last Thursday, and I said, look, John, there's some buzz around Ohio State that one of their best players, and it was their receiver, Chris Olave, who didn't play. He's a first-round draft pick in the NFL. And I said, John, there's a chance that somebody at Ohio State, and I didn't want to name names because it's not my prerogative to start dropping COVID news on, you know, personal private matters. But I said, look, somebody there who's very prominent has COVID, and here's what's going to happen. Ohio State is going to sit on this until an hour before kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the point spread in the game, Las Vegas said, all right, Ohio State is 20 points better than Northwestern. So on a neutral field, Ohio State is going to win by more times than not an average of 20. What happens, though, an hour before the game, Ohio State says, psst, psst, 22 guys aren't going to play. And the market, it goes from 20, it got all the way down to 16. So people just coming in and reacting to the news of, Ohio State is screwed, and now everybody bets Northwestern. And all of a sudden, these bookmakers who are managing money for a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all of a sudden there is a wave of purple money on Northwestern, and they don't know what to do. And then it gets down to 16. And then, of course, there's the Ohio State side. Well, that's a pretty good buy low spot. So then they buy it back up. And the screen is just, it's moving nonstop. And the number actually closed about, I think, 17.5 or 18. But this is an unprecedented time where they're having to rely on not just one injury. Hey, the quarterback's not going to play. 22 guys aren't going to play. What do you do?
It's kind of crazy. I'm actually, and there was some controversy anyway, wasn't there, about Ohio State playing, given that they'd only played 5 games and not 6 games?
The rule was if you missed or had 3 games canceled, you couldn't play in the Big Ten Championship. But Ohio State is the breadwinner at the Big Ten table, so we sort of move mountains for them when we have to.
We call this an oophole. Oophole.
So this morning, Houston is playing Hawaii in the New Mexico Bowl. I'm sure you're going to watch it. It's on at 2:30. Houston against Hawaii. This morning, about an hour ago, Houston says, we're going to be without 3 of our wide receivers. Okay. You know, 4 hours before the game, and then the market goes from 10 down to 8, you know, minus 10 to minus 8. So this is going to happen all bowl season. Forget the opt-outs where guys don't want to get hurt and ruin their NFL draft stock. Guys are getting COVID, guys are getting sick, and nobody wants to risk, you know, the potential of potentially playing in the NFL. It's just, it's going to be chaos through the new year and through early January with college football.
So I asked my son for some questions to ask you, because as I told you earlier, he's the sports genius in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And his first question is, are there any overreactions in the lines after the first 2 days of the NBA games?
Absolutely. People love to overreact to one thing. It's our favorite thing in the world to do. I was looking at, the Brooklyn Nets, they played Golden State. This was game one the other night, and they won 125-99. So that's going to be in the back of everybody's mind that wants to bet on the Brooklyn Nets for their game tomorrow on Christmas against the Boston Celtics. So when that line came out, there was no line. It was a pick 'em. It was flip a coin, pick the winner. Well, Brooklyn wins pretty big. Kevin Durant looks really solid. Kyrie Irving played well. Brooklyn is now a 3-point favorite at Boston. So that line has already moved 3 points after one game. Well, 3 points isn't a lot. Well, now to win that bet, like at a pick 'em, Brooklyn just has to win the game. But now if you're a 3-point favorite, you have to win by 4 to cash that ticket. So it might not sound like a lot, but that 3-point move is pretty strong. That's a pretty strong overreaction to just one basketball game.
Yeah, that is that's a lot. That's actually a lot. Is it? What about in terms of COVID? Do you think you're going to see these kinds of pullouts the way you're seeing in the college games?
We saw a game canceled yesterday. It was the Thunder and the Rockets. The Rockets had a bunch of positive results, and then they had tracing, and that game just got canceled. So I think the NBA will be a little bit more cautious.
The bubble was very successful that they played the championships in.
No more bubble, though. We're not all in Orlando right now. We're in all of these cities,
right.
And I am hoping this vaccine does what people say it's going to do, because we could. I mean, college basketball has just been, you've seen so many cancellations every single day. I mean, I think DePaul canceled 4 games already, because if it's not at DePaul, it's at Butler. If it's not at Butler, it's at Cincinnati or what, you know. I mean, like, somewhere along the road, somebody's going to get this, and then you're doing COVID math. You love math. I love math. I don't know how to do COVID math. If the point guard gets it, does the shooting guard get it? If the shooting guard gets it, does the coach have it? Does the center have it? You don't know. We're trying to prove things that nobody knows and that nobody will admit.
Yeah, you can't. There's no guarantee that. I mean, I'm surprised that 22 players in Ohio State have it. But then again, I'm not, right? Because the doctors say, you know, science says, the science that we know in 9 months, right? The science says that if you're in with people close up for 15 minutes or more, you're likely to get whatever they have. Doesn't that describe, like, team sports?
It does.
Yeah.
I told John this last week. I have been on the phone more than ever before, because things have changed in the snap of a finger or the blink of an eye. Like I said, this morning I woke up thinking, all right, Houston and Hawaii, all right, we got through this without any late-breaking news. And an hour later, chaos. Yeah. So I would just be careful. My advice would be, all right, what is he talking about? What's the thesis of this rant? Just be careful in college football, because things are changing so quickly. You may not want to bet on a football game a week from today or 10 days from today, because things change not only day of game, but hours before the game. So just pay attention to the details and do your best. Don't lock in your money on a team that plays in 2 weeks, because, you know, the whole world could go to hell at that program.
That is described every single week since March.
I know. It's wild. By the way, Sammy Martino is producing your show, right?
Yeah.
I'm Sammy P.
Yeah.
Your husband's name is?
Sam. Only called Sammy when he was younger.
So Martino asked me to ask you, what are the odds of your producer, your guest, and your husband all having the same name on Christmas Eve? And I couldn't compute it. I don't know.
I have no idea, but let's just say low.
Low? No, I think they'd be high.
The high that everybody would have the same names?
I think they'd be high odds. I think that would be like 100-1 or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I'm saying that it would be a very low chance.
Oh, a low chance and a high number. Correct.
And a high number. Again, saying the same thing.
Saying the same thing.
Totally
good. Look at us.
Look at us.
That's a lot of Sams.
It's a lot of Listen, it's the best name. Best name ever. All right. So when we come back, we want to talk about the Bears more. I want to talk about James Harden.
Okay.
And see what's going on there. Anything else?
I have a financial market prop for
Ooh.
You. I found a prop on the market, and I also found odds on who will be the next James Bond actor, if you're interested in that.
I think we should let people text in and see what they say, too, about that. Who do you think will be the next James Bond actor? And then you've got the line on who it is, right?
I have the market. I have the full market. There are 30 names on this list.
30? Oh, my God, you're going to have to run them all down. All right. I have to... Who is your... Before we go to break, who is your favorite James Bond?
Pierce Brosnan.
Really?
Did you want me to say Connery? I know Connery's the old gold, but...
You know what? I can't do Connery anymore after all the stuff. And I know he just died, and it's sad. And he was really like... He looked good, but I kind of like the current one.
Daniel Craig?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that either.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan for me in the 90s.
All right. When we come back, more with Sammy P, sponsored by PointsBet. I'm Elise Gling. Stay tuned to 720 WGN.
The Bears. The Bears.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Elise Gling, here with Sammy P, talking sports and betting and who's going to be the next James Bond. But first, Bears-Jacksonville. What's going on with that?
I'm excited because they've just been playing faster with Mitch Trubisky. The points have been plentiful, and the games have not been boring. Let me just give you some scores here with Nick Foles. 19-11. 20-19. 23-16. 24-10. Go to Mitch Trubisky. 41-25. 34-30. 36-7. 33-27. They've won 2 of 4, but the games are more fun because he's so freaking erratic that you don't know what's going to happen next. With Foles, you know, he's not going to run. He's probably going to take a sack. They're not going to move the ball, and the defense has to do their darndest to be in this game. With Trubisky, he could throw a touchdown or he could throw an interception for a touchdown. Like, you never know where the ball's going to go, but they're playing faster. And it's easier on the eyes to watch. So right now at PointsBet, believe it or not, the Bears, who are 7-7 and still technically alive for the playoffs, they're a 7.5-point favorite at PointsBet at Jacksonville. Jacksonville has one win this year. You should win that game.
Who did they beat?
Jacksonville won their first game of the year against the Indianapolis Colts, and they haven't won since.
Okay, so let's talk about home field advantage, because will there be any here? Is there ever any anymore?
Well, I believe in Florida, and again, all these states, Elise, are different. You know, the red states, you could do a lot more than some of these blue states, because blue states are like, you can't even leave your house. Some of the red states are like, yeah, come to the football game. I think actually across the border, you can go to a Colts game. I think there's 30% capacity. You can't go to a Bears game. So it's different in every state. I believe there are fans in Jacksonville, but it's not a lot. There are actually more wins this year for road teams than home teams.
What are they doing with all the... this is a little bit of a side thing, but what are they doing with all the ticket sales? Because had been sold... If you can only have 30%, who gets those tickets? And then do they just space you out and say, like, you can't sit next to people? Like, how does that
I
even
believe
work?
They section everything off. Like, they don't put all the fans in one section
in
one row.
Like, if everybody just is in the end zone, who got the lucky ticket, would you all have to sit in your own seats?
What does the wave look like in a socially distanced crowd? These are the things I think about late at night. I don't know. I believe the Bears refunded, but I don't know if it was a full refund. I don't know. I actually shouldn't answer questions that I don't know.
My family's actually Bears season ticket holders. So what they did is they took the deposit for the whole year, and they moved it to next season. So pretty much you put a down payment on to next season. So next season's free. We pay for this season, but there was no season this year. So next year, we got a whole year paid for.
We have to teach him. Nice. Nothing is free.
Yeah, he's
Nothing
young.
Is
he's
free.
He's 24. He doesn't know yet.
There's no such thing as free,
Sammy. But that's good. Good info. All right.
But home field, believe it or not, in 2020 with COVID and the lack of fans at most places, road teams have actually won more games this year than home games, and that is a rarity in the NFL.
Go Bears.
Go Bears. You should beat Jacksonville. If you don't beat a team that's 1-13, we've got a problem.
Home.
Don't come home. Do not collect $200.
We'll be waiting for you. All right, let's talk about James Bond.
So, you want to do Bond now? I thought you were excited to talk about Harden.
Let's talk about Harden. Right. No, that was another question for my son. Let's talk about James Harden and his little his event.
What did I miss with the event?
Isn't he the one with okay, so maybe I'm confusing them.
Hart is the one on the trade block who could potentially be leaving his team.
And that's right. Does the potential for a James Harden trade limit the amount of money places will take on the Rockets?
No.
That's from my son, just
no,
to be clear.
No, because bookmakers are looking at it this way. If you'd like to bet the Rockets, knowing full well that James Harden might leave, go ahead, light your money on fire, give it to us. What I think they're thinking about, here's the reality of the Harden situation. It's been rumored that he might get traded to the Brooklyn Nets to realign with his former teammate, Kevin Durant. If they get Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Caris LeVert from Michigan, the really sharp young kid, if that team comes together, the books will then completely lower the price on the Brooklyn Nets because they're already liable on Brooklyn. Because remember, Durant has played around the block a couple times, and now this is his first year in Brooklyn. The last thing the books want is for James Harden to get traded to Brooklyn because now all of those Brooklyn bets that have already been popped in are more likely to happen, and then what will happen? You look at the ticker on your television, James Harden's going to Brooklyn. Oh, I like Brooklyn. And then you'll bet Brooklyn, but you're betting into a bad price. You want to get ahead of the price. Because if James Harden gets traded to Brooklyn, the bookmakers around the country are going to immediately lower that price, which has already been lowered because there's already a lot of liability on it.
All right, so... All right, James Bond. So what did you find?
Tom Hardy's the favorite to be the next James Bond.
Really?
He's 3-1. So a $100 bet makes $300 on Tom Hardy, who has been in a lot of things. He's right there with James Norton. James Norton is 3-1.
We had Idris Elba was one of the suggestions.
He's
from
right there.
Is he? What is he?
He's 5-1.
5-1.
Mm-hmm. So 100 makes 500 on Elba.
He would be really good. He's got that kind of steely glaze and, you know, his eyes, and you can't scare him.
He looks like he could be a really badass James Bond. I don't hate that one bit. Who else did we hear? Did we hear anybody else?
We had Sam, I don't know how to pronounce this.
Sam, is it H-E-U-G-H-A-N?
Yes.
I don't know who that is.
Howen?
He is second on the list at 4-1.
Ah.
So I don't know who that is. Is that bad that I don't know who that is?
I don't know either. We should find out.
Sam Hugen.
Hugen, is that how you pronounce it?
I have no idea. But hey, another Sam in the party on Christmas Eve.
Right, so that should be the winner.
So the order right now is Hardy, James Norton, Sam Hugen, and Elba is fourth at 5-1.
Are there any women on the list?
Any female is 20-1.
All right, Sam Hugen is a Scottish actor, producer, author, and entrepreneur, starred as James Frazier in Outlander, and he's 40 and 6'3", and he has sort of blondish brown hair.
Does he look like Bond?
He could look like Bond. He's like a James Connery young sort of guy, I think. Like the next generation.
There are a lot of names on this list that I'm not too sure who they are. But here are some other longer shots. Cillian Murphy is 16-1. Michael Fassbender is 16-1. Jude Law is 20-1. Christian Bale is 100-1. That won't happen. Harry Styles is 150-1. Harry Styles isn't he from One Direction? Isn't he a boy band guy?
I don't know.
He doesn't seem like
he would be.
No. I actually saw a picture of Harry Styles wearing a dress or something the other month. I don't know that that's James Bond. Orlando Bloom, 200-1. Okay, so we're down the page here.
Yeah.
But it looks like Tom Hardy, James Norton, Sam Hugen, and Idris Elba are your heavy hitters.
And no women.
Any female is its own category. Like, any female is 20-1. They don't have any individual females listed.
Okay. So
I didn't make these odds, though. Don't shoot the messenger. I didn't create these.
I
What do you think? 20-1? Will there be a female James Bond? Will that be the next Bond?
I think they're trying really hard. There was a woman that they had, and I'm forgetting her name. This is where we need Dean Richards' memory. There was a woman that was sort of promoted as being the next James Bond, and then for some reason she disappeared, and we ended up with Daniel Craig again.
You know who kicks ass? Wonder Woman.
Yes, Gal Gadot.
She's
awesome.
She would be outstanding. I think we have to go. I think we have talked too long on this. I apologize. But are your odds on who will be the next James Bond.
Oh, Sammy P., so great to have you around today.
Happy holidays. Hey, thanks for having me.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll be back in a moment with more on 720 WGN.
Party hop, mistletoe hung where you can see, every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree.
Probably help if I turn on the microphone. It's Elise Kling sitting in for John Williams today. Happy Christmas Eve, everybody. I keep looking at our big show clock in the studio, and it gives us the date underneath, and it's 12/24/20, and I keep thinking to myself, how the heck did we get all the way to Christmas? I think we all deserve, take your right hand, put it over your left shoulder, and give yourself a pat for getting through this year. It's been a crazy year. So wanted to ask you what you were going to be having for your Christmas feast tomorrow. And I know for some people that starts tonight. We've got some very good friends, and they do a big sort of Christmas feast, and then normally on Christmas Eve, and I think they're doing some sort of, you know, fancy meat dish or something. But, you know, on Christmas Day, they normally go to their relative's house, and they were telling us that it's like junk food. You know, this is what everybody brings. It's stuff like, you know, turkey tetrazzini, and it's, you know, globs of hamburger with Velveeta on top of it, and it's like food they grew up with. Like, everybody has a different tradition, and it's so interesting. People have been texting me at 312-981-7200, and feel free to call that number instead. You can text, you can call, but it's been great to actually see what some people are doing for Christmas. So a whole bunch of people are, like us, doing prime rib, and somebody texted in a great slow prime rib recipe, which I will share on my Facebook page. But it basically has to do with cooking it at 250 till it's done, and then you put it in at a 500 degree oven for the last 10 or 15 minutes just to get it all brown and crispy. And I had read that recipe on Bon Appetit, and it sounded great. So we're going to probably try that one. But somebody has paired that with Swedish meatballs, loaded mashed potatoes, and roasted veggies, which is amazing. 847, homemade pizza for Christmas. I love homemade pizza. My son Michael, the sports nut, who I was talking about earlier with Sammy P, is a great pizza maker. So hoping he's going to indulge us sometime between now and New Year's. Somebody asked where to buy clotted cream. There's a recipe that you can very easily make it, and it's basically mixing sour cream with, I think, some lemon juice, and then you let it sit in an oven for a couple of hours at like 150 degrees or something. I'll find that recipe too. Ken from Norwalk, Connecticut is listening. Merry Christmas to everyone at WGN. I'm going to miss my dad's steamed plum pudding. He passed long ago and I don't have the recipe. Excuse me, Ken, if somebody sends in a great one, we'll post that one up on my Facebook page as well. 847, I'm having sea bass, roasted potatoes, cream spinach for dinner, pear tart to use up from a gift of delicious pears. We do different things every year. My daughter loves sea bass, and only she and her husband will be joining us. I'm missing my 3-year-old granddaughter. Oh, I know. We're all missing somebody this holiday season. I'm missing my older son, and I don't know. My sister was supposed to come in for Thanksgiving with her whole family. Didn't happen. Ugh, so much missing. And we'll have such joyful reunions next year. 708, our Christmas dinner consists of homemade ravioli. Ugh, that's nice. Can I get invited? Cheese-filled and meat-filled meatballs, sausage and peppers, and broccioli. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It sounds very Italian. We usually have sides, but this year will be different. I'm dropping off the food today at my dad's and kids' houses since we won't be celebrating together. We're going to be opening gifts tomorrow via Zoom. Grateful everyone is healthy and able to celebrate together even when separate. That's the spirit, 708. Absolutely. From 847, Merry Christmas. For the past 20 years, we've done everything with both sides of the family on Christmas Eve and just stayed in alone for Christmas Day and nighttime. 20 years ago, we decided to go out to dinner, and the only restaurant open was Benihana's. So we've been going to Benihana's every year until this year when my husband decided to start a new tradition, and he's making tamales, something we've never done before. Good luck to the tamale guys. I love Mexican food. Sam was born and raised in Mexico, and we eat Mexican food a lot, and tamales are really special. So I think you're going to really enjoy those. That's actually fantastic. Mark joins us on the line. Hey, Mark, what about you?
Well, I'm going to be spending Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with a guy who's separated from his wife right now, and it so happens that all of his children are going to be with her. So he invited me over, and we're going to keep each other company. And I also happen to be recovering from eye surgery. This is kind of an amusing note, and he said, is there going to be any kind of food that you're going to have trouble with because you can't see right now? And I said, well, you know what? I've had barbecued ribs in this condition, so just serve whatever you want to. I'll be fine. So, and I told him that WGN was going to be doing a whole bunch of radio dramas, and he said that sounded good. So we'll probably listen to some Carl Amari stuff, too.
I love that. Well, that sounds like a wonderful way to celebrate the holidays. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, it should be good.
Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday, and we will talk.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Elise.
Thank you so much. It's 11:18 on 720 WGN. We'll be back in a moment with more. It's Christmas Eve here on WGN. I'm Elise Gling, sitting in for John Williams today. We're talking Christmas feast traditions and other kinds of traditions as well. We had from 708, bacon buns and kugelis, two Lithuanian delights. The buns are made from scratch, filled with bacon, onions, and ham. Kugelis, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, potato-based with onions and butter. Okay, that doesn't sound terrible. That sounds amazing. Sydney, what's going on with your Christmas tradition? What are you going to do this year?
Okay, I'm at Freedman Place, and what we're going to do is we're going to have a nice big lunch consisting of, I'm going to have the gluten-free lasagna with artichoke and Christmas salad and fruit pie.
That sounds pretty delicious.
Yes, and then usually I go home, sometimes, depending on what the day's Christmas is on, I go home sometimes.
Nice.
But I'm here, because I was going to plan to go home this year, because I had made that plan last year for this year, seeing that Thursdays and Fridays I don't have bingo or volunteer, but I'm here at Freeman because of this corona.
Well, that seems to be how everybody is, feeling this year. So very glad that you were able to join us today. Thank you so much for sharing, and a Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you, Lee.
Gary, what about you? What are some of your food thoughts for this very strange and unusual Christmas year?
Well, actually, and not to upstage you, but you just read what I sent in on a text. And it was bacon buns and kugelis.
So I did pronounce that correctly. I'm so glad you called in. So how do you actually make kugelis?
Well, what you have to do is you have to take basically a pound and a half of bacon, two large onions. You got to cut them up real fine. You cook that. And then you peel 5 pounds of potatoes. And then you have to grate the 5 pounds of potatoes. And you have to grate them with a hand grater to do it properly. You can't put them in a food processor. You have to really use your muscles and hand grate them. All the old Lithuanian women had very, very strong forearms as a result of doing this.
I'll bet.
As you can imagine. But then you basically put it all together with about a half a pound of butter, and you pop it in the oven for a hot oven for about a half an hour, and then a regular oven for about 1 hour, and there you have it. And I make that, and I make bacon buns every year. Bacon buns are simply homemade dough that you have to wait for the yeast to rise properly, and then you fill them up with, again, bacon, ham, and onions, and they're just outstanding. I make them for all my Lithuanian friends in the neighborhood, and I tell you, every Christmas and Thanksgiving is basically when I make them. They look forward to it every year, and it brings me a lot of pleasure to be able to do that for them all. Now, the good news is I have three kids, and they are all in the business of making this stuff too. So, we're passing on the tradition.
Spreading the Lithuanian love.
Absolutely. And Merry Christmas to everybody over there at WGN. I love listening to you folks.
Oh, thank you so much. And Merry Christmas back at you. And thanks for joining us today on the show. We've actually had a few other interesting things asking people about, their Christmas feast traditions, right? So somebody wrote in and said 309, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. 217, my cousin's tradition is White Castle hamburgers. Which, if you're going to treat yourself, you might as well get a bag of those, right? 815, we'll be having duck with blackberry sauce and potatoes au gratin with aged Swiss cheese. Okay, you can go on any cooking show you want. That sounds amazing. 847, carry out Chinese food. Hope nothing breaks down. 847, another one, Lou Malnati's pizza tonight. I could really go for a slice of Lou's, right? The Lou. Does anybody else like the Lou? I really love the Lou. 773, I'm doing a beef tenderloin in a cast iron dish, sear on all sides, and then the oven for 30 minutes, and Yorkshire puddings with the drippings and roasted veg and a ham. And a ham, as if that's like a little side thing. And a ham. I wanted to make Yorkshire puddings, which are popovers in the U.S., And the best ones that I've eaten in Chicago actually are at the Neiman Marcus restaurants. They serve them with strawberry butter. That's an aside. Haven't been there in a year. But I wanted to make them, they are best made not in a muffin pan, but in a pan that has a very tall, skinny bottom to them. Then they really puff up. And I didn't have a pan like that. My husband, Sam, said to me, really, there's something for the kitchen that you don't have? Because I have a fair number of kitchen gadgets. Let me just be clear about that. And I said, no, as a matter of fact, dear, I don't have a popover pan. So I went and I called my friend John, who actually does have everything that I don't have. And he says, let me see. And he's rummaging through. They just moved into a new house, so everything's not in place yet. He's rummaging. He calls me back. He's like, I think we had one, but I never used it, so I gave it away. Okay, so that didn't work. So then I called my mother, rummaging. Nope, she doesn't have it either. So popovers are out for us, 773, but so glad that you're doing it. All right, 1126, when we come back, we're going to do a little bit more food. We're going to wrap up our movie cap, and I've got some deals of the day for you that you'll be able to see next on 720 WGN.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
It's 1133 on WGN. I'm Elise Klink, sitting in for John Williams today. You can find me online, bestmoneymoves.com, Instagram, my Facebook page. It's just facebook.com/Elise Klink, LinkedIn, or Twitter. Any place that I can talk to you on social media, we pretty much are there. But you know what time it is now? It is time to do Speed Jokes, sponsored by Team Hochberg.
Speed Jokes, sponsored by Team Hochberg.
Hey, this is John Williams, and I'm back next week with new Speed Jokes. You remember this one? And finally, your jokes are like a bad commercial. The more you hear them, the more you like them.
What a compliment.
I'm not sure that I want to be the Cars for Kids of comedy, but here we go. Hey, guys, I ate four bowls of alphabet cereal for breakfast, and then I had a massive vowel movement. I met a girl that sells batteries by the park. She sells seashells by the seesaw. Hey, Dave, a triangle and a circle got into a big fight. Finally, the triangle said,
you just don't get my point.
Oh, that's good. Mary, do you want to add to that?
What's my line?
I like that. I have your pointless. This is terrible, guys. Thieves broke into the police station and stole all the toilets. Detectives say they have nothing to go on. kid's about to turn 16. He turns to his dad and says, I'm going to get my driver's license soon. I'll need a car. Dad says, well, I'll buy you a car if you do three things. Get better grades, read the Bible, cut your hair. On the eve of the 16th birthday, the kid says, Dad, I'm getting good grades. I should have done that a long time ago. And I'm reading the Bible. I'm better for it. So how about the keys? And the dad says, I also told you to cut your hair, and your hair is longer than ever. And the kid says, yeah, I've been reading the Bible. Whenever you see a picture of Jesus, he has really long hair. And the dad says, yeah, and whenever you see a picture of Jesus, he's walking. The therapist said, welcome to Plastic Surgery Addicts Anonymous. I see a lot of new faces in the crowd today, so I'm disappointed. I'm so proud of myself. Last night for dinner, I just had a salad. It was mostly tomatoes and croutons. Actually, it was just one big round crouton and some tomato sauce and cheese. Okay, I had a pizza. Holy cow, a bus filled with stuntmen veered off the highway and rolled down the mountainside and burst into flames. No one was injured. I may have told that one before, but why not tell that one twice?
Because they're stuntmen. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. And finally, Pam wrote in to say, I've been texting some of your select jokes to my 12-year-old grandson as a way to stay connected and cheer him up. Pam, we're happy about that. She says he especially appreciates fart jokes. Of course, he's 12. Thanks for helping me pass the time and stay connected during this scary, sad time. Pam, we really don't tell fart jokes here, but for the 12-year-olds this morning, I'm going to make one exception. Here we go. Guy goes to the doctor, says, Doc, something must be wrong with me when I fart. It doesn't smell bad, never smells. The doctor says, well, go ahead, fart right now, and let's see what's going on. So the guy does, and the doctor says, oh, boy, this is serious. We're going to have to operate. The guy says, on my rectum, and the doctor says, no, on your nose. Ashley just whispered into my ear, the jokes are sponsored by Team Hochberg. Maybe not tomorrow, but up until today.
Not after that.
Up until today. Well, there's the 12-year-old in all of us and some bona fide 12-year-olds out there. So,
you know, Sammy, I've got a few more Santa jokes to run by you. You ready for those? Okay. What do you call a kid who doesn't believe in Santa?
I have no idea.
A rebel without a clause. What did Mrs. Claus say to Santa Claus when she looked up in the sky?
Come make me dinner.
Looks like reindeer. What do you call Santa living at the South Pole? A lost clause.
That's good.
Okay. Here's another one. What do you call cutting down a Christmas tree?
No,
Christmas chopping. Eh. Not so funny. Let's see if I can find one more. Oh. What's a winter? Why is winter a snowman's favorite time of year?
He's built.
Because they can camouflage. Okay. The jokes are sponsored by Team Hochberg. The delivery is all mine. Sorry about that. You can send John jokes. He'll be back on Tuesday. I'm here on Monday, so you might get a few more New Year's jokes next week. But in the meantime, you can send John his jokes at WGN. And 815, that fart joke was hilarious. Yes. It was really, really funny. Maybe John should do more of those. I don't know. Team Hochberg might not want to sponsor. Maybe not. Anyway, 39 minutes past the hour. Just to sort of finish up, we were talking about food and what people are making. So the description that we had of Kegela, somebody else wrote in and said, I'm making them this afternoon. Or if you don't want to make them, you could go to Duke's in Darien or Lutvele, also in Darien, to dine on Lithuanian cuisine. So thank you for that. 574, my husband is of Portuguese descent, and he's making pickled pork, marinated for 3 days in the fridge, fried on Christmas morning, served with chunks of fresh steamed bread, fried eggs, and pink champagne. So interesting to hear about Christmas traditions around the world and what people do. And even in countries like in Asia where they don't, you know, some people celebrate Christmas, a lot of people don't. it's interesting to walk the streets and see their representations of Christmas decorations, for example, and how they go to such great lengths to make tourists feel so welcome, which is really very special. I wanted to give you a couple of deals. So when I used to host a radio show on a station in Atlanta, I would always fill in for the main guy also there around Christmas. And so we would look up some deals because people are always waiting until the very, I don't know why, but sometimes at the very last minute, people are waiting to go and buy their Christmas gifts. And maybe that's you. Like there are people I met, traditions over the years, where on Christmas Eve, they go out and they do all of their shopping. I was yesterday walking back after the show. I walked down Michigan Avenue to my mom's place and where I'd parked my car. And I was thinking about how all the Christmases and Christmases past, normally, you know, this day, this week, the streets would be mobbed on Michigan Avenue. It would be really hard to find even a space to walk on the street because everybody would be crowded around. And even if there weren't as many people, there are always a lot of people, but even if there weren't as many, they'd all have a lot of bags with them. And so you get crowded out because of the bags that everybody's carrying. And yesterday was the first time all week I've actually seen a few people on Michigan Avenue in the afternoon shopping around. Maybe they had a bag, maybe not. But it's really so different this year, just to underscore, you know, what we've been talking about the entire show, which is this is a Christmas unlike any Christmas for all of us, you know, and the week started with, you know, the Christmas star, right? The conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter for the first time in 800 years, right? None of us were alive the last time, won't be alive the next time. And having, you know, that sort of kick off this very unusual Christmas week where you just see, you know, people are just not there. And then I saw the sign, Gap is leaving Michigan Avenue, and so they've got a clearance sale going on. Probably some good deals there. Everything the sign said was 30 to 60% off. If you're looking online for last-minute gifts as well, you know, Amazon, of course, has their gold deals of the day. So one of the things that I saw, obviously cooking is on my mind today, but there's a Cuisinelle skillet and pan organizer. That seemed like a good deal, 40% off for 5 or 6 or 7 pieces. I don't know how many pieces. That was a good idea. Cooking utensils, cooking things are always, I think, really good. They also had, I thought this was, you know, a nice idea for somebody if you're to get a Ring doorbell. Have you seen the Ring doorbells? This is where they get all these crazy videos of people actually stealing packages because they don't realize they're being videotaped all the time. That's part of this theme of the connected home. About 20-something years ago, I was at the Consumer Electronics Show and followed by the Houseware Show, which both happen in January in a normal year, which this isn't. But, you know, you go to Las Vegas, you basically don't come back for, I don't know, 3 weeks. Anyway, at the Consumer Electronics Show that year, they were talking about the connected home and how Wi-Fi was going to come in and everything was just going to be connected. And it was like 25 years ago that they were first talking about connected homes. And they didn't really have Wi-Fi the way that we have it today. And it's so fast and everything. It makes it so easy. And their idea was a connected home was you literally had to run wire throughout your whole house to connect whatever you wanted to it. And the first thing, basically, that companies thought we all wanted connected were our jacuzzi tubs. And I remember getting press release after press release where it would say, we now have a capability as you're driving home from the office to set your jacuzzi tub to the exact right temperature and it'll fill up. So when you walk through the door of your bathroom, it'll be ready to go. Like that was their idea of a connected home. I think the Ring idea is a much better idea. It took a long, long time for our houses to get as connected as they are now. And Amazon Echoes have been a big part of that. Alexa's have been a big part of that. And the Ring doorbells and other companies that are doing things like there's very clever. If you've got kids who don't want to carry keys with them, our kids never wanted to carry a house key. And so Sam installed first the electronic keypad on the garage so you could get in there. And then he installed an electronic lock for our doors, deadbolt, that you could unlock with a code. And that just solved the problem for our kids. And now they make those where you actually can have them connected to your phone via Wi-Fi. And if somebody's coming, you can see who's at your door, and then you can literally unlock your door from them from anywhere in the world. To me, that's a great idea for a holiday gift, particularly if it solves the problem of kids getting locked out. All right. It is 11:45. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, wrapping up this Christmas show and getting ready for the Wintrust Business Lunch next on 720 WGN.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
It's 11:50 on the John Williams Show. I'm Elise Klink. This has been so fun to fill in for John and talk about all of these things, you know, for Christmas. It's great to celebrate. I think everybody... everybody just loves this holiday, and it's so great to celebrate right now. One of the things that someone texted in earlier was, what are we going to do about Christmas lights? So the other day I was talking about how I was walking in the neighborhood, and it's just clear that even pre-Thanksgiving, more people are putting up lights. The lights are bigger this year. Everybody's going for it. Sales of Christmas lights are up way over 100%. I think everybody feels like we just need a little bit more sparkle and joy in our lives. And I wonder if this is true for you. Have you done more in the way of Christmas decorations this year? You can certainly text in and let me know, 312-981-7200. I just feel like when I walk around, I'm seeing just, it's a visual delight. And I got some tickets. Somebody actually gave me two tickets to the Botanic Gardens, sadly sold out light show. Lightscape show, which is going on right now, and just because I just love the whole sparkle of it. I love the whole thing. It does make things brighter. So I'm hoping that some of that brightness and sparkle will find its way into your week and your weekend the next couple of days, even if you're not with your family and maybe not with your close friends that you normally share the holidays with, that you can find some way to recreate it, whether it's with Zoom or, you know, dropping off Kegelis, or however you're going to celebrate, do some of that. I just think that it's just, you've got to do what you can to share. One of my favorite things to do is, of course, Christmas food for my friends who are Christian, whether that's cookies or flavored oils. We've done that and dropped that off as gifts. And now this year we'll probably be dropping off leftover standing rib roast, because there's just no way the four of us are going to eat, you know, 12 and a half pounds of standing rib roast. Although I'm going to give it my darndest, and I will let you know what happens. 773. Hi, this is our menu for the next 2 days. We're doing filet and shrimp scampi, boursin mashed potatoes, a corn casserole salad, giant parm rolls, Oberweis ice cream. That's always good. Tomorrow, big antipasto lunch, then lasagna and broccioli, the meat rolls my Nana used to make, salad, apple pie, and cinnamon, and lots of wine for both days. I think that's awesome. You know, everybody should make absolutely everything they can possibly make and find ways to celebrate. I find that food is really quite a salve for me. It brings back memories. It allows me to keep busy in the kitchen, which is my favorite room in my house. It lets other people help. Like, I've got my son Michael around. He's going to be helping me cook, and he's become like a much better cook, I think, even than I am. He's great. Of course, he's constantly into the science of food and watching all of these crazy videos on YouTube that, you know, teach you all of these things. It allows me to be with the people I love, you know, cooking things that I love, drinking some good wine, absolutely, and that's nice. 773, the light show at the Morton Arboretum is also awesome, very uplifting. Thank you, Marlene, for sharing that. I haven't been to the Morton Arboretum in a while. Maybe that light show still has some tickets. You can go online and take a look. My last thing that I just want to talk about before we, you know, preview what we're doing next hour. You know, this is a time of year where because we can't be with the people we love, I think we should start making plans for when we can. I have to tell you, I'm so grateful this year for the fact that we were able to develop in a year, less than a year, not one, not two, no fewer than 10 or 12, I think, vaccines are going to be coming out against this virus. The fact that we could get one vaccine into circulation against a totally unknown virus. A year ago, it was unknown, and we already have a vaccine, is just a testament to science and all the amazing technologies that people are developing today that have allowed that to happen in record time. You know, comparison purposes, it typically takes 8 to 10 years to come up with a vaccine, and here we've done it in 10 months. So, I'm so grateful for that. And that we don't just have one. We're going to end up with something like, 8 to 10 vaccines against coronavirus, which will allow all of us to get together with our loved ones next year. So hang in there, folks. We just have a short bit of time left. It feels like this has been the longest year in history. Maybe it has. I don't know. I'm not a physicist, but it is. We definitely have some good times coming up in 2021. So my very best wishes for a Merry Christmas and a great weekend. Spending it any way you can, finding joy, whether it's with food or the wine selections, the people in your bubble, or something that's, a little bit more expanded than that. Be safe. I know it's cold out, but go take a walk outside. Find to the point of our earlier callers, find a cemetery nearby for some quiet, contemplative walking, or maybe try the Morton Arboretum for something, or the Botanic Garden for something a little more external. But any way you think about it, enjoy that. All right, coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch, we're going to shift gears just a little bit, and you'll be able to hear a little bit about how this week another record low for mortgage interest rates. So we're going to talk about that. We have Ian Schur coming up and, of course, Amy Guth, all of those stories that you want to know about. And we'll give you an update on stimulus. Is whatever we know, hopefully it'll be, that'll go through and everybody will have a very Merry Christmas. I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. The Wintrust Business Lunch is next on 720 WGN.